Blog Talk Radio.
Returns season 5 episode 22, show 105 for those of you who are counting, and we are back, last show before the Super Bowl, and got good game, man. This is really a lot of interesting things going on with this game, and I'm looking forward to it, actually. I wasn't looking forward to it as much 4 years ago because I really thought the Patriots were going to just run all over the Giants. But this one's looking a little different. So just a little bit about our schedule. It's me, Commissioner T, the host of the Madden Voice, and I'll introduce my co-host in a minute. But a little bit about the schedule. We're going to do a show for the next hour and talk about the Super Bowl and a couple other NFL issues. We will do a Super Bowl recap next Tuesday night. And, you know, we're going to debate on what we do, because by Tuesday, what's left to talk about the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. So I'm going to talk with the panel and see how they want to handle it. But the plan is to do a Super Bowl recap, most likely next Tuesday night. And that'll be another hour show. And then we're going to go into our off-season schedule, and I'll announce what that will be on the next show. But it won't be every week. It'll be a little lighter. Just to kind of get ready for the draft and, you know, then regroup and off-season workouts and all that good stuff. And then, you know, back to some football in the late summer, early fall. So if you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525, 347-828. I'm sorry, 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. We are live on Twitter right now, and it's easy to find. We are the Madden Voice. And if the first time you're listening to the show and you want to check out our archives, just go to iTunes and type the Madden Voice in, and all 105 shows are at your disposal, and they are free. So there you have it. All right, so first we have EAFL Super Bowl I champion, Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, man? That never gets old.
Yeah, I hear you, man. We also have, from Madden Nation Season 4, one of the best Madden players in the world. He's known as Ollie Quick, and he is out in Indianapolis, the home of Super Bowl 46, but he is not a fan of either team, so it'll be interesting to see who he's going to pick. We have K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
What up, fellas? I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
What's
all
up,
right.
Big guy? What's going on?
Got to put a little bass in your voice, man. I hear you for a second. All right. Let's get started, because we're going to do an hour show tonight. You know, there's plenty. You know, we don't want to bore you guys. So, you know, we figure an hour is good enough. We don't want to rehash a lot of stuff that you can hear on ESPN or Fox Sports, NFL Network. But what are your thoughts on the Pro Bowl? Train, we'll start with you. Did you watch it? What did you think?
I watched it. And it's really, it's almost like watching flag football with people that got on helmets, man. All they did was drop back and let the quarterback throw the ball if the receiver was wide open. They don't even try really be competitive anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care whether they make any mistakes. You really don't even know what the purpose of really looking at it, man. You happy that some of your players go, but now it's like, wow, now I see why Urlacher and Lance Bridges opted not to go. Well, Urlacher specifically, he doesn't go. I think he only went 1 year that he was chosen, 1 or 2 years that he was chosen. He's been a Pro Bowl for like 8 years.
Right.
He doesn't really go anymore. It's not. Yeah,
I agree.
I think the stuff prior to the game is more exciting than the actual game itself.
Yeah. K-Star, I got a different question for you. Did you watch the game, first of all, K-Star?
Yes, I actually enjoyed it.
Okay.
And here's why. So let me explain why real quick. People don't really complain too much about the All-Star game in basketball or in NHL, but they don't play defense in either of those, last I checked either. They don't play defense in All-Star games. They don't play, an NBA game or NHL. So I actually had, of course I enjoyed seeing Big Ben throw bombs down the field of Brandon Marshalls and A.J. Greens of the world for touchdowns, but I didn't think it was that bad. That was entertaining. Brandon Marshall had one hell of a game. He made some crazy catches, and there was a lot of fake punts and kicks and everything and special teams plays, so I thought it was decent. I mean, I think when people watch the game, they shouldn't expect defensive linemen to go out there and try. Those are the big guys anyway, and they're not trying to, bust too much to win. Although, if you watch Von Miller, that man played inspired. That man actually went 100% and was destroying the future goat and my man Cam Newton out there. It was pretty bad.
And I want to ask you about your boy Cam Newton. You were a big fan of Cam, and
how
happy he made it to the Pro Bowl. But damn, I mean,
it's
can
horrible.
You sit here now and say exactly? Are you kidding me? I mean, he played like doo-doo. I sat there and I said, this guy shouldn't be in this game. And this is a game that nobody's playing. Now, granted, it was the fourth quarter. They might have picked it up a little bit. But it's still a game where nobody was playing.
Hold on, though.
And
you know what?
Actually,
you know what, though? I think that when Cam came into the game, people did try. And the reason why, first of all, I noticed because Von Miller was just going insane as soon as Cam Newton came in the game. But second of all, I think a lot of people don't like Cam Newton. I think he rubs people the wrong way. He came into the game with his jersey hanging out, wasn't tucked in, it was blatant. And, he's an arrogant guy. I mean, I love the guy, but he's pretty arrogant. And when people played him during the regular season, you would see a lot of people mock his touchdown Superman dance and just talk all kinds of trash to him. People don't like Cam Newton. So I actually noticed, I'm not making excuse for him because he played like shit or crap. But when he came in the game, it seemed like the defense really, really picked up and really tried to make him look bad, and they did.
He helps. And he should have been in the game. To me, it was clear, of every quarterback, I mean, there was another rookie that played well. Dalton played well.
Yeah, Dalton.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had Breeze, you had Rodgers, you had Roethlisberger, Rivers. You had guys that this is what they do, and you expect them to play level on a certain level. And Dalton played pretty much on their same level, and then the big drop off was Cam. I mean, he shouldn't have been in the game. He was not Pro Bowl material.
It was a huge drop off, actually.
Yeah, he was.
The game.
He was not Pro Bowl material. I'm sorry.
I love Cam, but I am worried about. I know he's going to work hard, but he is really arrogant. Like,
wow.
He really is. He was pretty disrespectful. Like going into the game, I like his swagger and everything, but again, like he's came in the game with his jersey just hanging out. And people actually on the sideline, they're looking to fix it. He just smiled. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, he just didn't care. It's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a little, but he's arrogant.
He's,
I love the guy.
Arrogant as a rookie when you haven't done anything is a problem. And this could be the beginning of him learning a very hard lesson about the NFL. And, regardless of what you projected him to do, the reality of it is he didn't show he deserved to play with all the other elite quarterbacks in this game, and his attitude was not very good as well. So, I thought the game was horrible. I thought, it was the worst Pro Bowl I had ever seen. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I mean, I understand the Pro Bowl. I've watched every Pro Bowl because normally the Cowboys are well represented. This year we only had two players, but normally there's at least half a dozen. I watch them all, and it was just horrible. I understand that there's limitations on defense, and you know, you can't play this, you can't do that. And, yeah, I get it. But
they didn't even try to pass rush.
It was horrible. And if that's what they're going to show as their all-star game, to me, get rid of it. To me, replace it with a skills competition. We always talk about who's got the strongest arm in the NFL. So why don't we get quarterbacks out there and see who's got the strongest arm? Is it Michael Vick? You know, is it – I don't know who else. Is it Cam? I don't know. You know, I mean, do that. Who's got – I mean, who's the fastest man in the NFL? I used to do that every year. I don't hear about that anymore. You know, let's get your boy from Chicago there, Mr. 100 Speed on Madden. Let's get him, and let's get the guy from Pittsburgh, Wallace. Let's get some speedsters out there.
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, who's got the best hands in the NFL? Let's get Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson and all these guys. And skills. You know, who's the most accurate quarterback? You know, to me, these are your best players, right? These are your pros. So why don't we put them in? So you don't got to worry about getting hurt. You don't got to worry about injuries, right? So we ain't got to worry about nobody getting hit and getting, you know what I mean? To me, that would make better sense than what this game has turned into. I didn't like it, and be honest with you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if
you know
the
what,
Cowboys
maybe they
only
could,
have two.
I just thought of, maybe they could. Goodell, and you know, it's very possible he does this. Maybe there'll be a policy where if you don't make an effort to play at least. Or act like you're playing hard in the Pro Bowl. Maybe some fines can be levied. I mean, you never know. Goodell might come up with something like where he would fine some players for lack of effort, and it's pretty obvious to tell who was not playing. You saw guys like Ray Lewis. He was actually trying out there. Von Miller was freaking just acting like he never played a game before. He was just going nuts out there. And, you know, those guys. So, I mean, maybe.
But it's not,
you know,
football.
Goodell,
okay, Star?
No, it's not. You're right.
We've watched football. And you can't even compare it to basketball. Okay, granted, basketball is – but we like offense in basketball. We want to see Kobe, LeBron, Wade, Durant, Rose. We want to see these guys dunking, throwing the ball off the backboard and dunking and, you know, no look. We want to see that there. We expect it to be 300 points scored. That's what the NBA is, high-powered offenses, and that's what fans are going to see. Football, we don't expect to see 100 points in a football game. It was just a horrible game, but we got to move on because we got a short show tonight. Let's talk about Peyton Manning. A lot happened with Peyton Manning in the last week, and it's interesting to me, I guess because the Super Bowl is in Indianapolis, but it's interesting that you hear as much about Peyton as you do about Eli. And I think this is Jim Irsay, and I'm really starting to not like this guy. He's really starting to bug me. I think this guy is a media hound, and I think he is disrespecting Peyton Manning. And let me just lay it out and then get you guys feedback. So Peyton Manning said about a week ago and I'm reading this because I want it to be accurate as I lay out what has gone on here. I'm not in a very good place for healing. Let's say that. It's not a real good environment down there right now, to say the least. Everybody's walking around on eggshells. I don't recognize our building right now. There's such complete and total change. Then he starts talking about the building and, you know, people cleaning out their offices. And it was a long quote. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Okay. So then Irsay comes out and says that I don't think it's in the best interest to paint the horseshoe in a negative light. I really don't. The horseshoe always comes first, and I think one thing he's always known because he's been around so long is that you know you keep it in the family. If you got a problem, you talk to each other. It's not about campaigning or anything like that. No, but he said this to the press, Irsay said, okay? He said it to the press. He's telling Peyton, you know, you shouldn't be saying, and I really don't understand what Peyton said that was so bad, but he's saying that Peyton shouldn't have said that you keep it in the house. So then Peyton responded as a true professional. At this point, Mr. Irsay and I owe it to each other and to the fans organization to handle this appropriately and professionally, and I think we will. I've always reached out to Mr. Irsay. I wasn't trying to paint the Colts in a bad light, but it's tough when so many people you've known for so long are suddenly leaving. That means Peyton didn't know this was happening. I feel very close to a lot of these guys, and we've done great things together. It's hard to watch an old friend clean out his office. That's all I was trying to say. All right? So then that was that. And then as recently as today, they're issuing joint statements. They're all on the same page. Love, love. You know? And Peyton is now saying, and I quote, "My plan hasn't changed." This came out today. "I'm on track with what the doctors have told me to do, and I'm doing that. I'm rehabbing hard." When asked about retire, he said, "That talk is premature. I have no plans on doing that." That's what Peyton said. So here's where we're at. The Colts are revamping the organization. Peyton is rehabbing, and as we sit here today, has no plans on retiring. Irsay has to make a decision on whether he's going to keep Peyton, pay him the $28 million, or cut or trade him. Now, before I let you guys talk, I just want to say one thing. When we had Madden Voice and we talked about Brett Favre, I was all over the Packers because I felt that Brett Favre was owed some loyalty. The difference was Brett Favre had played the retirement game every year and left the Packers kind of in limbo. But that said, I still felt that they owed him some loyalty. I don't change that stance, even though they've done well with Aaron Rodgers and been successful. I still think when you have a franchise player like that that has done so much for an organization, you owe him some loyalty. If I feel that way about Brett Favre, add tenfold to how I feel about how they should treat Peyton Manning. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Hey, if you have to make a business decision, you make your business decision. But this stuff over Twitter and these interviews and calling Peyton out and all of this crap, I mean, I hope Peyton gets traded, and I hope he goes to a team in the division. I hope he goes to somewhere where he can go and get these guys back. I really, really do. I think it's going. I mean, the team has sucked. They sucked before Peyton got there, and this year he didn't play, and they sucked again. So what do you think? What are you thinking? All right, I had to get that off my chest. K-Star, you're in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts?
It's pretty unfortunate. You know, it's Bob Kravitz, the Indianapolis Star reporter, said himself, it seems as if these talks are deteriorating as far as Peyton coming back to Indianapolis, because he is, Jim Irsay, speaking of, is, you know, disrespecting one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And honestly, Peyton Manning, you know, Jim Irsay said, let's, you know, it's all about the horseshoe. Let's not disrespect the horseshoe. But Peyton Manning is the reason why that horseshoe has any kind of meaning to it in this day and age in Indianapolis. He's the guy that resurrected that franchise and made it, you know, the forefront of Indiana. So it's pretty sad. You know, it's like a battle of egos, and Peyton's not even I'm not getting the sense from Peyton that he's trying to get in the battle of egos. I think he was just being candid, and that's all he's ever really been, you know. And even going dating back to the when he was the Pro Bowl and called his idiot drunk kicker, you know, thinking of Peyton Manning's always been a candid guy. And for him to say that, you know, he's been it just kinda hurts to see a lot of old faces, you know, be gone and clean up the locker. I don't see anything wrong with that, but Jim Irsay wants to run that show, and you know, it's just unfortunate because for a while I thought Peyton, you know, would stay, but it's not looking like, at least from my eyes, that that's going to be the case. It looks
stay
like
stay for what? What's to stay for? There's nothing left. You know, he'll pack up, get out of there. You don't need the $28 million, to be honest. He's got more money than him, his family. I mean, you know, his kids and their kids will ever spend. Don't get me wrong. He's owed it if he's on the roster. Get out of there. Go somewhere else. I don't care if you come to the NFC East. I don't care if you go to Washington. I'd hate to play you twice a year. But you know what? As a football fan, hey, Shanahan's a great coach. If that's where you end up, probably not because you don't want to play Eli Manning. But whatever. Wherever he ends up, but get out of there. It's toxic for you now. They don't respect you. And this, I'll tell you, it irritates me. These guys go out there every game. This guy has a serious neck injury. You know what I mean? And he got it playing football for your team. How many consecutive starts did he have? You know what I mean? He did that for your franchise. And this is how you treat him? Get out of there. Tell that guy what to do with his $28 million. You know? And get out of there. I don't know. Train, am I wrong? What do you think?
Yeah, man, I agree with everything you're saying. So the Colts are going to suck. They're going to suck something awful, man. I'm sorry. Peyton Manning was that team, dude. And I guess loyalty is doesn't really exist there. So what I really want to know is, like, really, do they really think that this guy is not coming back at all? Because I don't see how you know or have an idea that Peyton Manning is coming back and you dismantled the team. I don't understand.
I don't get it.
I think it's an ego thing. I think Jim Irsay is just, for whatever reason, just taking what Peyton Manning built and just trying to put his own face on, you know, the Indianapolis
franchise.
But
listen to what you just said. Listen to what you just said.
No,
there's the problem.
It's wrong. Yeah.
But listen to what you just said. What Peyton Manning built. That's the problem with Irsay. It's not what Irsay built. It was built around Peyton Manning. You saw what happened without Peyton. He didn't like it, and he's trying to move on, and he's disrespecting the guy that has made. I mean, can you imagine how much money he's made that franchise in the last 13, 14 years?
God, who knows how much. It's just an extreme amount. He's probably more money in the NFL Peyton has than any other player in the past 10 seconds. Yeah, even this year, even play, he made like $28 million or something crazy.
Well, I will say this. Remember that Peyton Manning is a Manning, and you remember when Eli Manning was drafted by the Chargers, it was Eli's father, Archie, who advised Eli, no, you don't want to play for the Chargers. And he ended up going to the Giants. At the time, a move that was considered bold and unprecedented. Okay, and do not be surprised that Archie, who Peyton looks up to and respects, doesn't sit down with his son and say, we need to talk about this. And Peyton doesn't make a demand. It may never hit the press, but watch. Mark my words, this isn't over yet. This is not over yet. Last topic before we get to the Super Bowl talk is I don't even want to know the guy's name because I don't really care what his name is. The Broncos defensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Oakland hapless Raiders. I don't care what his name is. It doesn't matter what his last name is. You know, I wish I had The Rock on here right now. It doesn't matter what your name is. It really doesn't. Okay? Are you kidding me? Somebody talk me out of my disgust that the Broncos defensive coordinator is now a head coach. What am I missing here? What am I missing? Train, you're a defensive guy. Am I missing something here?
Dude, I think we all might be missing something here. I mean, he must have given them a hell of an interview other than what we've seen from the Broncos defense this year. Now, I did give the Broncos defense praise, and I thought they played a big factor in helping them get, you know, those wins down the stretch. But that same defense was also getting torched games in between that stretch. You know what I'm saying? They won some games in a row, but a couple of games, you know, the offense really had to score points for them to win. I did not think it warranted enough for this dude for them to be like, hey, let's grab this guy as a head coach. So he had to have given them something in the interview that said he was ready for the head coach position, because it definitely is not solely based on what the Broncos defense did this year. No, can't be.
I mean, the team finished the season 9-9. Okay, 9-9. No.
Nine and nine.
What playoffs? They finished 9-9. Okay, 9-9. That's a .500 record. Okay, I think this guy ought to go and, you know, buy Tim Tebow a house or something, because to me, that hiring was all about trying to get some of that Tebow press coverage over to Oakland. That's what that was all about. Let's get this guy who played on the defense that helped Tebow get some wins, and let's bring him over here to Oakland. And now people are going to start talking about him because he's connected to Tebow. That, to me, that's what this is all about. I don't know. K-Star, what do you think?
You really should buy a Contigua house. Let me just read this for you real quick. The Denver Broncos' total defense was ranked 20th in total yards and ranked 24th in points given up. Not very good. I understand they had a good stretch where they played good football, but I think we all know, truly know, without hating, being objective, that the reason why the Denver Broncos got into the playoffs was mainly due to number 15 in Denver. While the defense did play good, these numbers really don't lie. I'm actually kind of surprised by seeing how bad this is. But, I don't understand the hiring. I don't think really anyone can really make sense of it. But maybe it has something to do with, again, trying to garner some attention from the Tebow camp. I don't know. I just don't get it. He must have had one hell of an interview, like Train alluded to, but it doesn't make too much sense to me. Statistically, this defense is pretty bad, not even average, below average. I don't really get it. The Raiders, they should have kept who they had anyway. Hugh Jackson, he seemed like a good fit, finally some stability there, and from what I could tell, a good coach. But they went in a different direction, and I'm surprised they went in this direction. Again, he did a good job, the Broncos coordinator, but they got torched many times this season in many games. And I can't fathom why they went this route, I guess. I'm just really in shock by this.
You got to consider one of the reasons why that defense did play well, when it did play well, was because of Von Miller, man.
Yeah.
He was a monster, man. It was because of him. The Raiders
They ran the ball a lot. They played high in possession.
Any linebacker as talented as that dude. Nobody close. So I mean, hopefully they have a good draft. And you think about it, it's Reggie McKenzie's first hire, because he came in there, you fired Hugh Jackson, and you wanted your own coach, and this is your first coach.
I gotta just say this. What really gets me as I get older and I look at things like this is, you know, people are taught, you're taught that if you work hard and to prepare yourself, and when you go for a job or you go for an opportunity, that, you know, the best person gets the job, right? The person that's best fit for the job. You know, you tell people, go to college, go to grad school, train, you're going to get your PhD. You know, everybody does all these things, and they study, and you learn, you try to be the best person you can, and you want to go there, and you just really hope that, hey, man, I think I did good on this job interview, or hey, man. And, you know, this really, when I look at this and I look at how Peyton Manning is treated, both of these things to me, it takes away from the fabric of what we have built in this country. You know, work hard, succeed, and it'll always benefit you. And Peyton Manning is being treated like garbage. If you're the best, you will get more opportunities. And this guy who is not the best, who is not very good, his defense was okay. It had games that they played well, but it had games that they played pretty crappy. You know, it was an average defense, average at best. I'm being polite by saying average. And this guy gets a head coaching job? I got nothing against him personally. I don't even know his name. I don't even know the guy. Wish him, hey, good luck, man. I know you got a family and whatever. So, hey, it ain't personal. But really? You know, I look at all the coordinators around the league that should be considered.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, you know, Wade Phillips, I know he doesn't want to be a head coach. But I mean, hey, you know, he wasn't the best.
You're going the wrong direction there.
There are more guys with plenty of resumes, way more decorated than this guy who they want to take a chance.
I mean, I'd have rated like the Steelers camp looking for a head coach, honestly. Because
one of the Steelers coaches being talked to by the Colts for –
the coordinator that we decided to let go, Bruce Arians, which upset Big Ben, by the way. I'm not happy about that. But, yeah, he actually is now – Bruce Arians, our former coordinator, now officially is actually signed with the Colts as their coordinator, so whatever.
Which way, offense or defense?
Offense. Todd Haley.
Offensive coordinator.
It's rumored Todd Haley's coming to Pittsburgh as our offensive coordinator, though. He was the guy, you know, head coach for the Chiefs and coordinator for Cardinals when they hit the Super Bowl, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he was a coordinator. Haley was a coordinator in Dallas, too. You don't want him. Hey, actually, never mind. Go ahead and take them. You can have them. but anyway, all right, let's get on to Super Bowl. We got about a half hour to talk about the Super Bowl. Pats and the Giants. And, you know, it's interesting. I was driving to an evening appointment, and I'm listening to the local talk radio, and it's like even though the game is in Indianapolis, I'm in the middle of it here in Connecticut. You know, we're even though we're in New England, I mean, there's a lot of Giant fans. There's some Jets fans here, too. There's a lot of Giant fans here in Connecticut. And so I think it's split pretty even. What's that?
So especially now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, no, they've been that way. I mean, the Giants have had a competitive team over the last decade. Well, you know, I mean, even going back to Parcells. So, I mean, so they've had a lot of fans here in Connecticut, and the Patriots have been competitive, you know, since Belichick. You know, so it's pretty interesting. And so I'm right in the middle of it here. And I'll tell you, it's interesting hearing local people really battle this one out. You know, we have the rematch, and, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. Now, the first thing I wanted to look at, which to me is something that I think is not high on the radar. We know that Gronkowski has a high ankle sprain, and we know normally a high ankle sprain could take up to 6 weeks to heal. Okay, we've all had guys on our teams that we follow with high ankle sprains, and you generally don't see them back in under a month. And it could go to 6 weeks depending on how bad it is. And Gronkowski's was pretty bad, okay? Even though he came back in the game, he didn't come back and catch. He came back and ran block. So with that said, and Gronkowski being hurt, and he said today he wants to play. He's just not sure if he will play, but he's working, you know, hard so that he can play. So even if he plays or if he doesn't play, could this be the time that Chad Ochocinco actually gets some attention from Tom Brady and the offense? Could we see? Because, you know, Chad Ochocinco, who caught 15 passes this year and was nowhere to be found, still is an elite player. This isn't he can't play. This isn't like he dropped 8 passes and, you know, this he's just on a team that's loaded. So could this be the game that maybe they try to utilize Chad a bit? Train, what do you think?
Man, I miss Chad. I miss Chad Johnson. I miss the dude that went to the Pro Bowl or that sent team messages every week before he played them asking, how do you plan to stop 85? I miss that guy. I cannot wait to see that guy again. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't think it was arrogant. I just thought it was pure confidence. That dude was at the top of his game. How he disappeared for a whole season is beyond me. And if they don't have Gronkowski, we better see Chad Ochocinco. Because clearly, they're going to be hurting if they don't have Gronkowski.
Yeah, I agree. K-Star, I mean, you used to see him twice a year playing the Steelers. What are your thoughts on Chad Ochocinco?
They might, you know, if Gronkowski is at all limited, which, again, a high ankle sprain, from what we've been told by his father, that was pretty bad. You know, he's going to have to be involved. For whatever reason, he hasn't been involved this year. I don't know exactly what the reasoning is for it. But, you know, if, again, Gronkowski is limited at all, if they want to have a chance to win this game, they're going to need, you know, that production from Chad 85. So, you know, I think he is capable. I mean, obviously, we've seen Chad play at a very high level for a number of years. So, you know, they're going to have to look to him, especially, again, if Gronkowski can't play, you know, someone's going to have to fill up the slack. And, you know, 85 is still a talented guy. And he may play a heavy, you know, heavy role in the Super Bowl. It might be the time to unleash 85, and this could be his moment. Which how crazy would
unleash.
It be? Unleash.
Unleash.
Yeah.
Somebody watching the first take.
Yeah, yeah. If who knows? If the Patriots want to win this game and Gronkowski is limited, which we all figure he will be, he's going to have to step up and make some plays for that offense, some big plays. And I still think he's a capable guy. I think we all know his ability is there. And I'm pretty sure he's been pretty damn motivated to make plays in the biggest game of his life, especially after a quiet season. How fitting would it be if Chad had a big game in the Super Bowl and helped the Patriots win, a Super Bowl? His whole season of not really contributing much, it would all be forgotten. The only thing people will talk about, a few years from now is, hey, Chad Ochocinco had a great game in Super Bowl. He helped lead the Patriots to the title. And I know he wants, I know he strives for personal greatness. And, he's been quiet all year, so obviously he wants his team to succeed as well. So this is his moment. I do think we'll have a Chad Ochocinco side in the Super Bowl. And I do believe his number will be called in some pretty crucial, critical moments with, Rob Gronkowski banged up a little bit. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he responds in the situation.
All right, let's play a little game called Who Has the Edge? All right. I'm going to do it in a different order than what I sent you guys. Let's start with the receiving core. Now, when I say receiving core, when I'm talking about the Giants, I'm talking about the wide receivers because that's pretty much where Eli Manning makes his money. Manningham, Cruz, and Knicks, those are his go-to guys. And on the Patriots, you got to figure Gronkowski, assuming he plays, Hernandez, and Welker is kind of his three go-to guys. So when you compare both receiving cores, go-to receiving cores, K-Star, who do you think has the edge?
I got to get to the Giants, especially with Gronkowski and Benda. I feel like Gronkowski, as far as just offensive players go, aside from the quarterbacks, of course, skill positions, that Gronkowski is the best player out there as far as impact goes. But with him limited, the best overall core is definitely the Giants. And Hakeem Nicks is a stud receiver. Victor Cruz led the league in receiving yards this year. And, Mario Manningham is very good in the slot and, can't be overlooked at all. With the Patriots, they kind of have Wes Welker, and he's been just consistently productive over the past few years. And Hernandez has definitely come on this year in his rookie season. But with Gronkowski limited, I think you have to get the edge of the Giants here.
K-Star? I mean, not K-Star. Dr. Train?
Yeah, I think I'm at the agree with K-Star. I definitely give the edge to the Giants receiving core, and even throwing Jake Ballard. He's not the most athletic tight end, but that dude can make some big catches. He really can make some big catches. Down
don't change my question. I didn't bring Jake Ballard into this because he's not the change my question. He catches passes, but so does Deion Branch. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so does Julian Edelman.
I got you, but I consider everybody that's able to receive the ball as wide.
That's a different question.
Train ruining the game.
And he's ruining the game. This is what Train does.
Train
answers his own question. He don't answer the question I pose. He answers his own
question. Answer the question he posed.
He said, I throw Ballard in. I didn't ask about Ballard. The three key receivers on each team. Would you agree that their wide receivers are the three key? Would you replace any of the three and put Ballard in and say he's the key over Manningham, Knicks, or Cruz?
No. I still don't see the point of asking you that. But anyway, so to satisfy y'all with this game, I still say the Giants.
That wide receiving core
is a beast. It is a beast, and it'll be tough to defend, especially for a team that has given up a ton of yards through the air and on the ground all season long. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Giants. So play nice. Play the game that I set up. Or if you have a question you want to ask, put it out there. But play by the rules, man. I put the question. It's like, just play by the rules. I don't agree with you guys, be honest with you. I don't agree. I think that what the Patriots have done with the two tight ends is, it has been virtually unstoppable. And then you throw Welker in there with 122 catches and led the league. I get Gronkowski's hurt, so that could impact the game. And there's no doubt about that. And that's what we just talked about. But, if I had expanded it to four and threw in Branch and threw in Ballard, then maybe we're having a different conversation. But when I look at the top three receivers on each team, those are the top three on the Giants. Those are the top three on the Patriots when you look at stats. And I got to give an edge because it's something that it's we've seen teams with two and three solid wide receivers. This is a little different when you have a scheme that's based on two tight ends. That's not something we've seen done this effectively. And then you throw in Welker, and it's 122 catches. And the guy's averaged 110 catches a year in his 5 years in New England. And I got to give the edge because it's different, because it's new. You know, and how do you cover Gronkowski at 6'7", 270 pounds? Hernandez plays a tight end, but he's got the moves of a wide receiver. And we already know what Welker has done. It's you know, he does it year in and year out. So, I mean, there's really no right or wrong answer. I was really just looking for your perceptions. But I'm gonna give the edge. My opinion is right here with the Patriots. Just an edge. Quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask who you think, not who's the better quarterback, okay? Because I don't know that too many people that are going to say that Eli is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. But I'm going to ask who has the edge going into this game and why. Which quarterback has the edge going into this game and why? Train, let me start with you.
Tom freaking Brady. Who knows how to win championships? I'm sorry. He's done it enough. And I think in a game where your competitive nature has to take over, where you really got to want it, I think Tom Brady can definitely deliver it. I don't see him choking. Okay. I just see that dude delivering. Just for real. It's just scary.
Yeah. All right. K-Star?
I'm going to Eli Manning, and here's why. The only reason why I would ever go to Eli Manning in this situation is because let's look and see what the defense are playing. Eli Manning and all his weapons are playing that Patriot defense. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, we're looking at both in New York, Justin Tuck and, JPP all game with a fierce pass rush. I don't see that same pass rush, you know, coming against, you know, Eli Manning. He's going to be well protected. He has all the weapons in the world. So the better quarterback is obviously Tom Brady. But for this game, give me Eli based on the matchup and matchup alone. And let's not forget, you know, Eli did beat Brady in the Super Bowl last year. So whoever who wants it more, we've seen how bad Eli wants it. We saw that crazy play that it was fluky, but we saw the craziness that happened against the Patriots last time they played in the Super Bowl. So on that alone, I'm going to go with Eli. It sounds ridiculous, but only based on matchup is why I'm doing it. Brady's definitely the better quarterback, but hey, Brady's seeing that defensive line. Meanwhile, Eli's seeing that Patriots defense. Give me Eli in this game.
You know, as much as it pains me to agree with K-Star, as much as it hurts me deep down to give anybody in the Giants any credit for anything, I got to agree with K-Star. And here's why. Everything he said, and, you know, I've been watching Tom Brady the last week and a half. You know, he's been talking about how he didn't play well, how he sucked, his words, you know, in the game against the Ravens, calling his quarterback coach, his personal quarterback coach, and saying, I need to work on my mechanics. Interviews where he does nothing but give the Giants respect after respect. Now, I saw some of the interviews he did 4 years ago. It's a different person. Now, the only thing I'm thinking is either Tom Brady is shook and he just can't beat Eli and knows it, or this is the biggest okey-doke we've ever seen in professional sports. And Tom Brady is doing everything, and he's going in the back room with Belichick, and he's laughing. Like, these people actually think that this guy's going to beat us, you know? I hope that's the truth. But what I'm seeing on interviews and stuff, he looks rattled. He looks like he knows Eli has beaten him two games in a row. The game this year in Foxborough, and then the Super Bowl game when they were 18-0, and they you know, didn't close the deal. So he looks shook. I'm hoping to come back next week and say, oh, my God, he okey-doke us. He went out there and did what Tom Brady does. I'm hoping, Train, I'm hoping you're right, man. Oh, my God, I hope you're right. But right now, with what I've seen, you know, Eli looks more calm. Looks like he's done. He looks like the guy with three rings. And I've done this before, standing up in front of his team and giving a speech and embrace this moment. You never know when you're going to have this chance again and all of this. I mean, I'm like, who is this guy? You know, is he becoming Peyton right before our eyes? I mean, I don't know, but right now I got to give Eli some credit. Last but not least, and then we're going to take a call. Dude's been waiting for a minute, so I apologize. I want to hit one more thing. Head coach Belichick, Coughlin, K-Star.
You got to go Belichick. You know, he's had some game plans that alone are in a Hall of Fame. No joke. The thing that's most intriguing about this game, I feel like the Giants actually match the Patriots as far as talent goes. Pretty much on both sides of the ball. But if there's one man who can find a game plan to exploit weaknesses in the Giants, I do believe it's Bill Belichick. You've got to give him the edge. And Tom Coughlin is a good coach. Let's not, discount him here. But Bill Belichick's a master of the blueprint. You know, he seems to find an answer in any given situation. And if he's seen a game plan before, they played earlier in the year. I think that's pretty vital to this. They played earlier in the year. And the Giants won. But I feel like, Belichick's going to see a lot of things from that game and completely adjust some of the situational game plans and the way that maybe he attacks Eli and that Giants offense. So I got to go with, Bill Belichick. You know, he's been to five Super Bowl games and has won, three of them. So I got to go with Belichick. He's Bill Belichick.
Trey?
Definitely going with Belichick on this one, dude. I think it's just a very hardworking coach, and I think when a team has beaten him once during the season in a game of this magnitude, I think that dude has a major game plan to take down those Giants. I really do. He knows what that team is capable of doing. They played him during the season. They know what they did last Super Bowl. You know, you pretty much got some of the same players that was in that last Super Bowl on both teams. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with you guys. I got to go with Belichick as well. They both come out of the Parcells, who's, my all-time favorite coach, even though he has two Super Bowls with the Giants. But he did coach 4 years with Dallas, and we just love him in Dallas. I wish he hadn't left. I think had he stayed a couple more years, might be a different team, but that's another conversation. But he comes out of that school of thought. He's very good at what he does. I think Coughlin has earned my respect this year. But you kind of go into this game expecting Belichick to have an answer. You just expect that he's going to rip that tape apart from that game in Week 9, and he's going to have an answer. You've seen the defense in the playoffs play. I mean, this was the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL, and you've seen them play the Ravens, who, is a top five defense, and they played the Ravens hit for hit. And so you see the defense shaping into form. So I'm going to give the edge to Belichick experience. Even though Coughlin's been a coach a long time, but Belichick's on this level, he's been on this level a little bit longer. And I think his connection and and how he works with Tom Brady is second to none. I think when I look at quarterback coach combinations, he's the one that comes to mind first. And I saw this in San Francisco with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, and it was incredible. I saw it with Jimmy Johnson and Troy Aikman and Dungy and Peyton. And, and I don't know that Peyton, Eli Manning and Coughlin have that same relationship. I think it's good, but I just don't get the sense that it's that type of relationship. So I got to agree with you guys. I guess our caller has decided not to want to speak, so that's fine. We've got about 10 minutes to go. And, you know, last but not least, who wins the game and why? And I'm going to start with Dr. Train on this one. Who's your official Super Bowl pick and why?
Yeah, y'all gonna rattle me for my fence riding here. My official Super Bowl pick is the Giants. It really is. I just think as far as as healthy and a complete team on both sides of the ball, I think the Giants are just overall better. They got the defense. They got the offense. I mean, they played hot the entire playoffs and took advantage of the opportunities as minimal as they've been, but they took advantage of those opportunities, definitely to win over San Francisco to take the game. And I just think they ride that into the Super Bowl. I just think they're the better team, especially having all their players and being healthy. I definitely give it to the Giants. But if Chad Ochocinco plays, I might hop the fence in the middle of the game. I'm not lying, man, because if this dude come on, I might hop the fence in the middle of the game. I'll text y'all and let you know.
Wow.
That's okay. You ain't got to let me know nothing, man. Because I'm a blast. I'm gonna get all in your mix. If you start hopping in the middle of the game, make a pick, you stick with your pick now, dog. All right, man. K-Star, who you got and why?
I'm going with the Giants. I picked them to win their division. I picked them to win every playoff game they played in. I figure I might as well roll up in the Super Bowl. They're hot. They have the fierce pass rush. And I believe in Eli, as Prime Time always says. You know, let's look at it, though. They just seem to overmatch the Patriots as far as talent goes. One thing, and I know the Patriots don't make the schedule, but they are 1-2 this year against winning teams. Can you believe that? 1-2. They beat the Ravens in the championship game, but they lost to the Steelers and they lost to the Giants. That's an incredible stat. But I do believe it'll be a very close game. I do think we'll actually see a lot of the run game from the Patriots to try to negate that pass rush of the Giants. And, you know, we'll see, of course, the short quick passes. But that Rob Gronkowski injury is really, it really hurts New England, I believe. And again, the Giants are a more complete football team. It's going to be a close game because Belichick's going to put out together a great game plan. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady, as we know it. But I'm going to go with the Giants here. They're just a better overall team as far as talent goes. And they're still a well-coached football team as well.
Once again, I must bring T-Bonics into the conversation and educate you two fine young men on some of the things that go on in the NFL. I feel a need to do that. Okay. When we look at these games and you look back on MVPs, you'll find that most of the time your MVP is your quarterback. So that would lead you to believe that the quarterback play is going to be critical in the success or failure in the Super Bowl, because that's who has been named MVP more than any other position. Now, Eli's playing at an insane level, and I give him all the credit in the world. And we already know what Tom Brady is capable of. There's no doubt about it, okay? Eli is in his second Super Bowl. If he loses, he's 1-1, just like his brother Peyton. He's 31 years old. He's got a lot of years ahead of him, 5, 6, 7, who knows how many years, you know. Brett Favre played till he was 40, so who knows how many years Eli can play. Brady's 35, I believe.
34.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, so he'll be 35 going into next season, right? So
yep.
Brady's probably got 3 or 4 years, maybe. And this is his 5th Super Bowl. It's 3-1. If Brady loses, he goes to 3-2. Now, 5 Super Bowls, no other quarterback has played in 5 Super Bowls. Hasn't happened. Bradshaw's got 4, Montana's got 4, and they're 4-0. When you look at greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the things we look at is Super Bowl wins and Super Bowl record, okay? Jim Kelly played in 4 Super Bowls, but he's 0-4, so you never hear his name being tossed about. But you hear Bradshaw and you hear Montana because they're 4-0. Brady is playing for his legacy. He's playing for his career. He's playing to go 4-1 in 5 Super Bowls and to be put up on that level where the discussion of him being the greatest, not just the greatest quarterback of this century, meaning from the, you know, the 21st century, but the greatest quarterback of all time. If he wins this game, it is. I don't want to say he cemented it, but it's hard to not count him as the greatest quarterback to have ever played this game. That's huge. And he knows that the window of opportunity is closing. He got in this year with the 32nd ranked defense. That ain't going to happen again. That's an anomaly. You know, the parts that they've had interchangeable, it's harder and harder. Teams like the Steelers, you know, Steelers with 2 Super Bowls, the Ravens, a catch away, and Peyton and Tom Brady sitting home watching this game. If Lee Evans holds that, that's how close they were to losing. So he knows how fragile this is. And you know who else knows and is playing for his legacy? It's Bill Belichick. Now, I agree that the Giants are hot, and I agree that their defense is playing on a very high level. But as we talked about with the coach, there's anybody that could figure out how to give Tom Brady some time, it is Bill Belichick. And I think that what we've seen in the press and all this humbleism and all of this, you know, they're a great team and all that, is a big facade. It's a big smoke screen. It's a big okey-doke. That's really what I think. And I think it's going to be a great game, but it's not going to be like 4 years ago. I think that this team is going to come out determined, and they're going to have a plan together. They're going to have the with Gronk and without Gronk plan. And they're going to execute it flawlessly, and I think they're going to beat the Giants. Not going to whoop them. Not going that far, but they're going to beat them. Last thing we're going to do before we sign off is we're going to put scores next to our prediction. So I'll go first. I got the Pats winning. I think they're going to get some points in this game. I'm going to go 31-27 Pats. I think there's going to be some points. K-Star, you've got the Giants. Give me a score.
I had New York 20-17 over New England.
Okay. Train?
I like Giants 27-23.
Okay. All right. We're almost out of time, guys. Train, any final thoughts? All right. Hold that. Hold on. We got. Yeah, I think we have your boy here. Let's give him about. You're only gonna have about a minute and a half. I believe this is Saint. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, you know I need more than a minute and a half. Man, come on.
That's
okay. What a time, man.
Yeah. Don't waste it. Complaining. Go on.
Hey, I was trying to chime in when y'all talked about. I thought you put the question out there so methodically, not who's the better quarterback, because that's Tom Brady, but who has the edge going into the game. And I got to go with Eli. I think he does have the edge. And I haven't, and until you started talking about who you believe is Mr. T, who's going to win this game, I didn't have a pick. I couldn't pick. I picked both of them to be in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the playoffs. I didn't know who was going to win until you started talking about who you thought would win. You thought the Patriots win, and you started talking about why. And because of that, I believe the New York Giants are going to win 24-17. Because I believe there's so much pressure on Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to be great, it might come to their own demise. And we really don't know if they've won a Super Bowl fairly. We don't know if they have. I think it would be great if they won. I think we would be seeing greatest history. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think Eli and Coughlin really has nothing to lose. Nobody expects them to be great. Eli can win 3 or 4 more Super Bowls. I don't think we'll ever say he's the greatest of all time. But Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, if they win, we can say that we could put them in that conversation that they're the greatest of all time.
All right.
I'm looking forward to hearing from y'all next week, fellas. I'm signing out.
See you next week. All right. All right. Thanks for the call. We got about 30 seconds. So, and that's the beauty of the game is we're going to find out in a few days. So, make sure we'll be back here next Tuesday night on the Madden Voice full Super Bowl review. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the game. And remember, the Madden Voice and the Super Bowl, all feuds will be settled on the field. Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.